أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين، إنه خير ناصر ومعين. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. My respected brothers, sisters in Islam, in Iman, Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Taqabbalallahu a'malakum. I pray that Allah accepts all your ibadah in this holiest of months. Once again, I'd like to begin the speech by looking at some of the advice that the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wasalam had to offer us when it came to fasting and the month of Ramadan. The first tradition, actually the first thing I'd like to quote to you is from a book of fiqh by Shaykh Al-Mufid, known as Al-Maqna'a, where he talks about suhoor. He says that suhoor, meaning waking up in the morning and eating something before fasting, he says suhoor in the month of Ramadan is from the sunnah, meaning the sunnah of the Prophet. And in it, there is a great amount of merit. And then he mentions a few reasons why it's so beneficial to wake up for suhoor. One of them, he says, is because it helps you when you're fasting. Now that's clear. If you eat before, then it's going to help you. Secondly, he says that it is contrary to what the Jews used to do. Apparently, there was fasting in Judaism as well. I'm not aware of the details of it, but apparently that fasting, they did not used to wake up for and have suhoor before they would begin their fasting. So doing this is a way of being in contradiction to the previous shara'it, the previous means of practicing religions. And then also, he says the third reason is wal-iqtida' bil-rasool sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Somebody who keeps the suhoor and wakes up at that time is also following the Sunnah of the Prophet. And then he quotes a tradition. He says, وَقَدْ it's been narrated from the family, the Holy Family, that they said that يُسْتَحَبُّ السُّحُور, that suhoor is mustahab, وَلَوْ بِشُرْبَةٍ مِنَ الْمَاءِ, even if somebody were to take a drink of water, that would be mustahab in and of itself. In another tradition, we're told that even if the Prophet is talking about his ummah, even if they were to eat a dried date, a date that doesn't even have flesh on it, even that would be something that would be in compliance with the sunnah of the Prophet. Now, what is the reason behind that? Other than the physical benefits, other than the sunnah, perhaps one of the other benefits is that it's an encouragement for us to be awake at that time. Because as we know, the holiest time of the entire 24 hours that God has created within a day is the time of the sahar, the last one-third of the night time. And if we're going to wake up for food and drink, then might as well do some ibadah at that time as well. And that's the time to make dua, that's the time to stand in the night prayer as well. The second tradition I want to quote to you is about the month of Ramadan. It's talking about the recitation of a particular dua. This is found in Al-Kafi from the Imams, alayhim wasalam. They're telling us what we should do on the 23rd of the month of Ramadan, which is Laylatul Qadr. They say that on that night, you should consistently and repeat this particular dua when you're in sajda and when you're standing and when you're sitting and in every situation. And then they go on to say that you should read the same dua throughout the entire month of the month of Ramadan. And then they go on to say, actually, whenever you can, you should recite this dua. And whenever you remember from your life, you should recite this dua. So what is this dua that is so important that we should be reciting, especially on the 23rd night of the Ramadan, but also throughout the month of Ramadan, in every state where we remember? They say that, تَقُولْ بَعَدَ تَحْمِيدِ اللَّهِ, after praising Allah, and saying salawat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The tradition says, Allahumma kun li waliyik fulan ibn fulan, meaning the imam of our time, fi hadhihi as-sa'a wa fi kulli sa'a waliyan wa hafidhan wa nasiran wa dalilan wa qa'idan wa aunan wa aynan hatta tuskinahu ardaka taw'a wa tumatta'ahu fiha tawila. So that same dua that we recite for the protection of the imam, this is the tradition which is telling us of the importance of it, that we should always be in remembrance of the imam, especially during this month. This is the month, we're told that on the night of Qadr is when that special call will be made to the 313, those who will be among the first to pay allegiance to the imam, and they will be the forerunners in terms of advancing the mission of justice the imam, alayhi salam, will inshallah spread. May he make us among them. Please say salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. By the way, you might have noticed that there was a few differences in terms of the wording of the tradition and then the dua that we normally recite. That's okay, because sometimes, you know, there's different versions of a particular narration, and what we recite is from one version, and this is another version that you find in Al-Kafi. In any case, the meaning is the same. Now, we're going to, inshallah, continue our discussion, our very important and inshallah useful discussion. Useful and important because this is what, after all, we find in the words of Allah and in the words of the Ahlul Bayt regarding family life. And we talked about the importance of the first principle we talked about was the importance of having love in the family. The second principle, which we introduced yesterday, was a principle of spirituality. That if we want to have successful family lives, families the way that God envisioned them, family being a unit where there's harmony and there's happiness and the individuals in the family are working together towards a common cause, advancing towards God and working and helping each other on that path as well, then one of the things we have to have, one of the necessary ingredients in our life, is spirituality. And we talked about how spirituality isn't some fuzzy type of, you know, emotional reaction to like something like music being playing. No, spirituality is nothing but feeling and being aware of the presence of God in our lives. And we said that there's a way of being able to determine how spiritual our lives actually are. The simple question we can ask ourselves, which is, what is the basis on which we make our decisions? What is the guiding force behind our decisions? And we said that typically you'll find that sometimes people answer by saying that we decide things based on what other people say, and we decide things based on what our own personal inclination, our personal hawa, whatever we sort of feel like. And both of these, we said, is wrong. The right criterion is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before I go on, I just want to mention something about this idea of responding to things and making decisions on our personal inclination. A lot of people do this. You know, like, for example, you have... In the case of a marital relationship, you have your spouse is doing something to bother you. Okay, the natural inclination is to lash out and to reprimand them, to reproach them, to be angry at them. It's not a natural. The natural instinct doesn't say you should forgive and forget, right? It says no. Just you should respond right then. Okay, you see your spouse doing something. Right then you want to tell them off for doing that. But it takes, that's the natural instinctual reaction that we have. And if you look at it, that's the same type of reaction that animals have. Right? Now you've heard this before, right? That we're supposed to, we human beings are supposed to be higher than animals, right? Animals, how is it that they react to different situations? Basically, you know, if you are aggressive towards them, they're going to be aggressive towards you. They don't have this concept of forgiving and forgetting and letting things pass and being easy and looking at ourselves and trying to improve ourselves. No. They just respond. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala captures in the Quran as well too. He says, he talks about, he says that, have you not seen him? أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Is, have you not seen him? Have you seen him who has taken his desire to be his God? God speaks in very clear and plain terms. There's some people who take themselves to be their own God. Whatever their own lower soul beckons them to do, they follow suit. Right? In that situation where I'm supposed to be patient, I'm supposed to look at my own flaws, I'm supposed to be tolerant, I just react on the basis of my own desire, my own instincts. أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Is it your duty to watch over him? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in the next verse. He says, أَمْ تَحْسَبُ أَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعَقِلُونَ إِنْ هُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلَّ سَبِيلًا. He says, do you suppose that most people actually listen and apply reason? Do they make their decisions on the basis of something more nobler than their base instincts? No, they are just like cattle. Rather, they are further astray from that way. Because after all, animals don't have the capacity to react in any way but just lashing out and just, you know, their base instincts. But human beings have that capacity and they don't make use of it, and therefore they are even worse than cattle, even worse than animals. Now today, we want to cover some suggestions, some tips of some things that I can do in order to, inshallah, increase spirituality in my life. Now, these tips that I'm giving, they don't just apply to marriages. They apply to individuals, they apply to couples, they apply to families with children as well. Tip number one is that if I'm going to not make my decisions on the basis of what other people say or what my personal inclination and my personal opinion says, then what do I make it on the basis of? Obviously, Allah. So that means that when it comes to decisions that I make, when it comes to my actions, I want to do them in accordance to the pleasure of God. I want to do things according to how God wants me to do them. And the beautiful thing about Islam is that in every area of our life, whether it comes to the way we worship, whether it comes to our family life, whether it comes to our work, our social times, whatever it is, taking friends, choosing a career, choosing a major, in all of these different aspects of our lives, God has given us guidance. So one of the ways for me to have a spiritual life is to, number one, learn and find out what that guidance is, and number two, act upon it. This is what Allah says in the Quran, Surah An-Nahl 16, verse 97. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. Whoever does righteous deeds. Now what's righteous? Obviously is that which God has prescribed, what the religion of Islam says. Whoever does righteous deeds, whether that person be a male or a female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and they do them for the sake of God, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيْبًا. We're going to give them a pure life, a spiritual life, a good life. Something that is worthy of being called life. This is the promise of God. Are we willing to take that promise? Are we willing to see how is it that in every aspect of our life, God has wanted us to act and operate? One of the prerequisites is, of course, acquiring knowledge. We have a tradition reported from our Prophet. He says that, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he says that woe be to every Muslim who does not set aside one day of his or her week for the acquisition of knowledge in religion. Right? This is from our Prophet. This is something that we need to take to heart, brothers and sisters. It's a humble suggestion. There is a lot that we have to learn. And coming to mosque and listening to majalis is excellent. It's part of what we need to do. But when you just go and listen to like majalis on random topics, this isn't a way of structured learning. One of the things we need to do is to have structured learning be part of the things that we do. We need to be demanding and organizing and demanding and showing desire for having organized classes where we go through material. And alhamdulillah, in this day and age, it's a lot easier than it was before. There's online classes, there's online sessions. You'd be surprised. Sometimes those who are studying in in Qum, they're asked to give online sessions for people who live halfway around the world. But you find that there's people willing to like even listen to an audio through, you know, I don't know how many different sort of pathways like this goes through before they get this like broken audio, just to be able to hear advice from scholars of Qum. Right? You have even you have online video broadcasts from Qum as well too. You have online sessions going on. You have resources that didn't used to be available even a few years ago. Right? You have books being translated into English as well too. There's one book which is a translation of the chapter on Jihad al-Nafs. Jihad al-Nafs means the struggle of the soul. It's a chapter of Jihad al-Nafs. It's found in, the original is in the book Wasa'il al-Shia. It's one of our great compilations of a hadith. Now that book used to only be available in the native Arabic language, but now it's been translated into English as well too, under the title of Combat with the Self. Now that book, Ayatollah Behjad, may God's mercy be upon him, he's reported to have said that if somebody were to read just one tradition of that a day, or perhaps he said one page of that a day, that would be a source of increasing his spirituality. I'm paraphrasing what he said. Just one page a day. You buy this book, you know, wake up in the morning after Fajr prayers, you do a bit of dua, and then read one tradition, right? And just see what you understand. Maybe the deeper elements of the tradition won't be necessarily apparent, but whatever it is that we can benefit from and learn about, it can really help us. Having a program for acquiring knowledge is something useful in terms of increasing our spirituality. The second thing is to have, second suggestion is for every individual to have a program of doing mustahab actions. On top of course, following the command of God, following the wajibat, staying away from what's muharram, having a program of mustahabat. The example they give is the example of planting seeds. The wajibat that we perform are like planting seeds. But planting a seed in soil is not enough in order for a plant to grow. We need the water as well too. That water comes in the form of the mustahab actions that we perform. Now what is the result? That if we combine a small program of mustahab actions that we perform regularly on top of our wajibat, the result is going to be a plant. What is the plant? A plant of love. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters into the heart, that's when we can start responding to things, not on the basis of our personal instincts, but on the way that God wants. It's not easy. It's easy to sit in a lecture and say that, okay, you know what, I'm going to start improving my relationship with my spouse or with my kids. I'm going to stop just, you know, reacting on the basis of my whim and passion. I'm going to start thinking about things before I say things. I'm going to start acting with love. It's easy to just say that. But to act upon it, you need something, some sort of motivation, some sort of pull. What is that motivation? That motivation is the feeling of love of Allah in our hearts. That's what we learn from our imams. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, in one of the 15 munajat, the whispered prayers, he says so beautifully, he says, Ilahi, man dhalladhi dhaqa halawata mahabbatika farama minka badala. Oh my God, who is it that can possibly taste the sweetness of your love and then turn away from you? Right? Once we just taste a bit of that sweetness, then we understand that there's some higher purpose in life beyond just, you know, our normal day-to-day sort of activities. We have an example in our great scholars who learned and acted upon the message of Allah and the Ahlul Bayt. Shaykh Ansari is somebody that all of you are familiar with. He's one of our greatest scholars. They say that when, you know, he used to live in the city of Najaf. Najaf it gets very hot in the summertime, extremely hot. So one day it's reported that he had come home right at the peak of sun, and he asked one of his servants to get him a glass of cold water. At that time it took a while to get cold water. It wasn't just a matter of walking over to the refrigerator and pressing a button. They had to go down deep into the cellar where they would keep some water there, cool. So his servant said, okay, he went to go get the water. In the meantime, Sheikh Ansari decided to use the time to recite a 2-raka'ah mustahab prayer. Now most of us, when we're tired, right, and we just came home from a hard day at work, and let's say it's hot, we're hot and tired, we would just feel like collapsing on the couch, right? But look at Shaykh Ansari, he's tasted that love of Allah, and so he has that burning desire to talk to his beloved. You know, he has that desire, and so he said, let me pass the time in a good way, let me recite a prayer while my servant goes and fetches the water. Now, in his prayer, he gets a special feeling. It's called a hal, meaning that a certain state of the heart. And he decides to, instead of doing a short surah, decides to recite a longer surah. And he enjoys that prayer. It's as if that prayer and that connection with Allah makes him oblivious of the thirst that he previously had felt. And they say that it took him so long to finish the prayer that the servant came, he gave him the water, but by the time he went to drink the water was hot. But that's okay, because of that love that was burning in his heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is inspiration, brothers and sisters, that if we are able to be people who like to do mustahab things, not just satisfy ourselves with the bare minimum just to get us into the door of heaven, but try for a little bit more. Right? They say, if you look at the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt, there's a few principles we learn. This isn't the place to go into it in detail, but just a few principles. One of them is that we should be consistent. Right? If we want to see that effect of love growing in our hearts, we should be consistent. Not just like on Laylatul Qadr, we stay up the whole night. And then until the next Laylatul Qadr, then we don't really have any mustahab things going on. No. Right? Yes, stay up Laylatul Qadr, but every day, even after the month of Ramadan, even the day of Eid as well too, have a small program of mustahab actions that keeps us, that we're busy attending to. 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. Another thing they mention is to make sure that it's something that we can manage. If from the beginning we say that, okay, I'm going to recite Dua Abi Hamza Thumali every day, okay, in the month of Ramadan. Well, if somebody can do that, that's excellent. But the advice we're given is, no, do a small portion every day. Enough that you can manage, that doesn't make you tired and just kind of you leave the whole thing aside. Inshallah, these are some things that we can practice. Another thing they suggest is, teachers of spirituality and ethics say that explore the different ways in which Allah has opened up channels for getting close to Him. We have dua, and this is found within the school of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wasalam. We have the du'as, we have munajat, we have ziyarat, we have du'as which speak, and we do tawassul in the du'as. We have giving charity, right? Giving a small amount of charity every day. These can all be effective ways of increasing our spirituality. About the Qur'an, reciting Qur'an every day as well too. About the Qur'an, I just want to mention, just for the blessings of it, a tradition from Imam Ali alayhi wasalam. In Nahjul Balagha, he says, "Ta'allamul Quran, learn the Quran, learn the Quran. فَإِنَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْحَدِيثِ, for indeed it is the best of speech. وَتَفَقَّهُ فِيهِ, and go deep into gaining its knowledge. فَإِنَّهُ رَبِيعُ الْقُلُوبِ, for it is the spring of the hearts. Brothers and sisters who are looking for something to enliven their dead hearts. فَإِنَّهُ رَبِيعُ الْقُلُوبِ, it is the spring of the hearts. وَاسْتَشْفُ بِنُورِهِ, and seek restoration of spiritual health from the light of the Qur'an. فَإِنَّهُ شِفَاءُ الصُّدُورِ, for indeed it is the healing of the hearts. وَأَحْسِنُ تِلَاوَتَهُ فَإِنَّهُ أَنْفَعُ الْقَصَصِ, and do its tilawah, recite it in a good way, for indeed it is the most beneficial of stories. Peace be salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. A third tip, we talked about the importance of following God's will and trying to please Him in our lives. We talked about the importance of having a program of mustahabbat. The third one is that we as individuals and in our lives, especially within our families, we need to be people who talk about Allah. And we need to talk about the Ahlul Bayt, especially the Imam of our time. What I mean by this is that we need to create an environment where Allah is present. Right? They say that the daughter of Allama Tabatabai says in one interview that our father, Allama Tabatabai, used to talk about Allah so much, and remind us that he was present and watching over us, that we used to think it would be impossible to do an action without feeling the presence of Allah. Right? That's the way it should be. That environment should be one where we're talking about Allah. You see, brothers and sisters, the way that our children are taught, the way that we ourselves were taught in this, in the educational system, is a way that God has been stripped away from the equation. Right? When you learn about the way that the universe operates, for example, you learn about the water cycle. All of you have, or you know, at one time will study about the water cycle, and you learn about how, you know, that the earth, how water moves about in the earth, from rains, from clouds, from water supplies in the earth, right? And people drink it, and whatever, it just goes in a cycle. The whole time you learn about that, or you learn about any of the other facts or theories about science, whether it be the way the human body works, or whether it be evolution, right? The whole time you read about it and learn about it, God is stripped away. But if you look at the language of the Quran talks about some of these same scientific phenomena, but it does so with a different language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Furqan 25, verse number 48, وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. We are the ones who send down water from the sky. Who's taking credit for it? Right? Who is this action being attributed to? Is it that the clouds, rain is falling from the clouds? Or is it that Allah is causing rain to fall from the clouds? So if it's raining outside, right, as a believer, I should mention, thank Allah for sending us this rain. This simple statement will find a place in the hearts of our children and it won't leave. Surah 35, verse 9. فَأَحْيَيْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. With this water, we cause the dry earth to come to life again. Springtime comes along. I see greenery. I should mention it. I should attribute it to Allah. I said that we should not only talk about Allah, but also about the Ahlul Bayt, especially the Imam of our time. We should be people who frequently are remembering the Imam of our time. In a hadith, we're told that, this is from the Ahlul Bayt, Imam Sadiq, he says that you should go and visit one another. And that you should mention our affair. You should mention us, mention the Ahlul Bayt, mention the Imam of our time. Even when we get together for a social gathering. Right? In another tradition, we're told that that we should make sure, that we should, even if we gather together, and we don't say salawat in that gathering will be a source of regret for us in the hereafter. Please say salawat on Muhammad. You know, we like to gather, when you get together, we discuss different things. One of the things we talk about is politics. Right? Even at home, we talk about politics, and there's so much room for talking about what's going on in this world. And there's so much injustice that's going on. All of these occasions for injustice are opportunities for us to remember the Imam of our time. And we should make use of that when we're trying to develop a family environment which is rich with spirituality, which is rich with the remembrance of Allah and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. As parents, one of the suggestions I have for my dear parents is that if you're keen on doing this, one of the good ideas is you can... There's some good blogs that are written by practicing Muslims who try to explain how they bring life into their, how they bring Allah into their family life. And if you want, you can approach me, inshallah, I can give you some suggestions for what exactly you may consider following. Okay, that was the third suggestion. Now, inshallah, we're going to talk about the fourth and last suggestion for today. And that is to limit potentially negative influences from the outside. Brothers and sisters, if we want to have a family life in which we're remembering Allah, then we need to mitigate and limit the amount we're being exposed to other than Allah. Right? It's a very clear, very simple sort of understanding. It doesn't take rocket science to understand that. So one of the things we need to do is to not be so dependent on entertainment and media to give us entertainment, to basically pass our time with. Right? As believers, we should not be people who have our TV on all the time. Right? Our TV watching should be controlled. Our media exposure should be controlled. Right? That's because most of that, or a lot of it, is other than Allah other than spirituality. It's going to be a poison that's entered into that environment and will spoil it. So one thing I need to do is I need to look and find alternative opportunities for entertainment that are halal and that bring me closer to Allah rather than making me devoid of Allah. Somebody who, you can ask yourself, you spend time in a movie theater, right, watching a movie in which there's no mention of Allah, right? Well, you might spend 2-3 hours and at the end, do you feel any closer to Allah? Oftentimes you feel like, I mean, Allah, like where's Allah? Allah wasn't in the picture at all, right? A lot of these cartoons and these and the media, right? I mean, these, I don't know, the Disney princesses or like Batman, okay, Batman. How much God is found in Batman, right? Okay, maybe, yeah, maybe there's somebody who's really like Tawhidi and they can like see different themes of God, all right? And if, it's a bit of a stretch, right? I mean, that's not me. I'm not saying that we should cut out and just, I'm not being extreme. I'm just saying to limit the exposure. So find alternatives. For example, sports and games that are halal. What's wrong with having a board game that you sit around and the family sits there, you and your wife or you and your wife, your kids, and play the game for the sake of Allah? Right, that can be an a spiritual experience in and of itself. All right, or for example, playing sports in which again the rules of God are being observed can be something very beneficial for the body and can be halal as well. We should have sports teams, sports leagues, saba intramural sports where there's nothing. That's other centers do that. We should do that. You should, as a suggestion, maybe we can implement that here as well. Be creative as well too. Some of these things that we have within the religion can be fun. For example, moon sighting. You know, one of the mustahab things to do is to do istihlal, to go and see the new moon. I've seen myself that children are really excited about this. They like that idea. So why not make an outing of it? Let's go in to the top of, I don't know what that mountain is. There's a wind peak or windy peak or a, yeah, that one. So you go there, right, and take the family, take some community members, right, have some good food, right, and wait for the new moon to come in, right? What a wonderful experience. And if you miss that opportunity and the kids get past a certain age, then they're not going to want to do that anymore. But if you hit them at the right age, they'll be really keen on doing this thing. Another thing is to make sure that we expose ourselves to Islamic media, Islamic movies, where they do remember God and to that experience, we actually feel encouraged and enlightened and feel closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a lot of good films and serials that have come out from the Islamic Republic of Iran in recent years about, I don't know, from the life of Mukhtar to Nabi Yusuf to Hadith Maryam salamullahi alayha. These are very inspiring and even children like these as well, especially if they haven't been exposed to too much of the other type of media. Another thing is that, okay, if we are going to be watching, you know, like TV and just other sort of things, then let's be selective consumers. And as parents, we need to watch with our children. Okay, not just say that, okay, because it's the Disney Channel, then it's okay for my children to watch that. Do you know what's going on in the Disney Channel? Like, just last week I was sitting in a dentist office and they happened to have it on. And I felt so uncomfortable, I just wanted to run away from there because beyond just like the what's going on, there's all these subliminal themes and messages that are being conveyed in a supposedly a program that's meant for kids, but so many adult themes are being conveyed in it. Let's not trust, who is Disney after all? What are they after other than our money? Why should we trust them? Why should we trust ratings like PG? No, you be your own rater. Look at there's so many resources now where you can look at and see what sort of themes are going to be contained in a program, what sort of scenes are going to be there, what sort of languages are going to be in that program. Look ahead, be that type of a parent where you're there and you're watching with your kids if you are going to watch. And then discuss afterwards if there were any things that were negative there. Brothers and sisters, I just want to make a point here that when it comes to the types of characters that are portrayed in media and the types of heroes that our children get from there, these are just a far cry from what role models and heroes are supposed to be. You look at these type of people, they tend to be like let's say a princess from one of the Disney movies. They tend to be very beautiful, very successful. They end up rich and they have a lot of like, you know, fame and fortune. But all of that, brothers and sisters, just has to do with the worldly and the material sense of our existence. the characters that we have, the role models that we have, that Islam gives up for us, were people who are not only successful in the dunya, but they were also successful in the spiritual sense as well. Take someone like Hadrat Abbas alayhi salam. Abbas was somebody who on a physical level was incredibly successful. He was tall, he was beautiful, he was strong, he was courageous. He had all the qualities that anybody would want when it comes to the material dimension. But on the spiritual side, he was a spiritual warrior as well too. Right? He was somebody who was extremely close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the highest ranking individuals after the Ma'asumin alayhim as-salam. Right? These are the types of individuals that we need to find affinity with. The prophets as well. Telling stories of the prophets to our children. You'll be surprised how much they are appealing to our children. If we just learn the basics of these stories and then give them to our children. Please say salawat ala Muhammad. There are more suggestions, inshallah, if we have the occasion throughout the remaining speeches. I might mention a few of them as well. Just to recap some of the suggestions that we gave for increasing spirituality in our lives. Number one is make sure that we follow the command of Allah. Seek His pleasure in all aspects of our life, whether it be worship, whether it be our work, whether it be our family life, our social life, and learning about those the guidance of God in those fields. Number two is having a small program, but a consistent program of mustahab actions. Number three is talking about Allah in our and the Ahlul Bayt and the Imam of our time in our lives. And number four is limiting the potentially negative influences of other than Allah. Before we end, I just want to once again look at a couple of ayat from the Qur'an. So last but not least, because this is after all the month of the Qur'an, these verses come to us from Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, verses number 24 and 25. Surah number 3, verses number 24 and 25. In these verses, Allah is reminding us of the Day of Judgment. And this is, it's a very good thing for us to remind ourselves of the Day of Judgment. One of the effective ways, in fact, for somebody who is thinking about committing a sin is to, na'udhu billah, is to remind themselves of the Day of Judgment. Right? And Allah, from time to time in the Quran, reminds us of this inevitable, very important, monumental occasion that we all, without exception, will be present in. He talks in these verses about the one of the excuses that some people have made in history for not following the religion. Particularly talking about an excuse that was made by the Jews of that time. But I don't want to just limit it to that. Just say some people who make the excuses, because it's something that's applicable to us as well too. He says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا لَن تَمَسَّنَا النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعَدُودَاتٍ. That is because they say the fire shall not touch us except for a few days. These people used to make the excuse. They said that, okay, we're gonna commit sins in this world. We're not going to follow the religion of Allah. But after all, you know, we're going to be punished only for a small amount of time. Right? Just for a few days, and then we'll be fine after that. And they have been misled in their religion. وَغَرَّهُمْ فِي دِينِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ. They have been misled in their religion by what they used to fabricate. And then verse number 25, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جَمَعَنَاهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. But how will it be with them when we gather them on a day in which there is no doubt, la rayba fi, wa wuffiyat kullu nafsin ma kasabat, and every soul shall be recompensed fully for what it has earned, wa hum la yudlamun, and they will not be wronged. Right, this, in and of itself, you know, it's a good reminder for us, but it's worth us trying to ponder upon it as well. First of all, question, whom is this verse speaking to? As we said, there were some Jews in history who used to have this belief. They said that, okay, our forefathers committed a sin. They worshipped the calf for 40 days while Musa alayhi salam, went to have a special conversation with Allah. He went away to the Mount of Sinai. And then after 40 days, he came back, he told us what was wrong. So for 40 days we committed a sin. Now we'll do whatever we want in this world. And then we'll be punished for a maximum of 40 days. Okay, now you might be asking yourself, well, what's the logic behind that? Like, what does that have to do with our actions? But that's the point of the verse. It's trying to say that people sometimes have very illogical justifications for why they turn away from Allah. So this river, the verse talks about fabrication. What is it that they used to fabricate? They used to fabricate this idea that we're going to be saved after all. We're the chosen people. The fire is only going to touch us for a number of days, 40 days, and then we'll be okay. So how is the fabrication causing them to be deceived and misled? You see, brothers and sisters, the way that the human soul works is that if we hear something again and again, and if we tell ourselves to believe something again and again, eventually we will believe it. It's a process of inculcation. And people who work in advertising, they know about this principle. You send a message enough, you see that, like that logo enough times, then eventually you're going to believe in it. You're going to put your money for it as well too. Right? That's the way it works when it comes to some of the excuses that we have. If we just tell ourselves the excuse enough, then we're going to believe in it. For them, it was this excuse. But for us, we have our own set of excuses that we can develop for ourselves as well. Why is it that we don't follow the religion? Why is it that we turn away from the message? An effective way, a way of destroying these types of false thoughts, that maybe some people think that, okay, because I'm a Shia, then I will be saved. But we see that the Ahlul Bayt said that it's not the true love of them is shown by following them. Right? So they're looking for us to follow them as well. Somebody makes an excuse that, okay, I'm young right now, but when I get older, then I'll right my ways. Some people make the excuse, other people make the excuse that, no, this is the way my parents were. Right? These are excuses. What's an effective way to break all of these and to remind ourselves of the reality? The Day of Judgment. Right? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. He says, how it will be? Okay, let them believe that, but what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment? When on the Day of Judgment, where there is no doubt in it, it's going to happen. It's one of those things that we should be certain about. There's a lot of uncertainty in our lives, but this is something that we can, if it was allowed, we could bet on it. We could put money on it because it's going to happen. Right? There's no doubt in it, and every soul shall be recompensed fully for what it has earned. It's not about excuses, it's about reality. What is it that we've done, and what is it that we have not done? وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ It's not about injustice. God is not going to be unjust in that day. Whatever it is that we deserve, that's what we are going to get. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and resurrect us with those who are in the company of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad.